The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Yes, we're back after our week away to find out more about a new birth.
Now, for this to work, just imagine for a moment that Jacket M is a lady chicken. Cluck, cluck, cluck. That was Jack being a lady chicken. And, ooh, wait a minute. Something's happening. It feels like something's going to pop out. It's an egg, in case you were wondering. An egg with the word Jack and a big number two on it. And my, my, but it's starting to hatch already.
Hello, are you my mummy?
Yes, probably. You must be Jack too. What do?
Play songs and say stupid stuff.
Sorry, love, we already do that on Jack.
Only we'll be younger and more geared towards a 20s female demographic.
What? Sorry, must have nodded off there for a second. Well, if you're a new radio station, you'd better do a big launch thing.
We will.
So in a minute, Roy Martin's roundup of the latest UK radio news and, of course, David Lloyd's radio moments. But first, let's meet the proud father of the UK's new radio baby. That was the first Jack 2. Ian Walker is CEO of Oxys Media. He runs Jack FM and Jack 2 in Oxfordshire. He's in New York at the moment. How are you, Ian?
Hi, Trevor. Thank you very much for the call today. Great talking again.
And now, this is the world's first Jack 2, is it not?
Yes, working in conjunction with our partners, Sparknet, in Vancouver, we have managed to put the very first Jack 2 on the air, which launched Tuesday the 20th of August. And we're very, very thrilled about that because we've been working with Sparknet for the last 18 months developing the new format. And my partner in crime is Arnie Selfie, who actually was the first person to put the very first Jack FM on anywhere in the world as well, in Vancouver back in 2002. I know that Arnie's on the call with us today as well.
Well, hello, Arnie. We thought you were in Vancouver, but where in fact are you?
I'm in Regina, Saskatchewan today.
We're just so global here at the Radio Today programme. And it's a huge privilege to have you on. In a sentence, then, I think we all know what Jack FM is. It's playing what we want. It's I guess it's kind of male-skewed, and we're told that Jack 2 would be female-skewed. Is it as simple as that, the difference between the two?
I don't know that it's as simple as that. I mean, certainly we wanted to take the brand pillars that we had developed for Jack, which was music variety and interesting persona, and a radio that was appealing based on exactly what listeners said they wanted from radio, as opposed to making assumptions based on what listeners had said they wanted about radio. So where Jack 1, the original Jack, you know, was playing what we want and had no DJs and, you know, was upfront about all of the usual radio trappings, Jack 2 has taken the exact same approach and, again, literally interpreted what listeners said they want. Listeners say they want to help choose the music that's on the radio station, so that's a big part of one of the pillars. We also wanted it to be complementary to Jack 1, so we developed it for a younger audience and to have a female skew so that the two stations together would be able to work together in a market and achieve a greater share for the companies.
Just to give an idea of scale here, you're in over 40 markets all over the world, largely Canada, US, but you've got five stations in the UK and you've got some stations in Russia. What happens? I mean, if I want to turn my station into a Jack station, what do I have to do to get that license from you?
It's a strange process in some ways because first we have to develop a relationship. You know, our main goal is to work with people we like to work with and to work with people who understand the goals and objectives that we have in reimagining radio in a variety of different forms, because Jack is not the only brand that we deal with at Sparknet. So first of all, we're looking for like-minded people who want to, be creative, who want to present something that's different than what is already being offered in most markets around the world, not just in North America or in the UK. And if we can get that far, then it's a matter of working together to say, how do we customize your particular Jack for your particular market so that you'll be able to maximize market share and tuning?
So, Ian Walker, how much of what you do in Oxford is, in fact, playing what you want? And how much of it do you have to run past Arnie and the team to get permission, as it were?
Well, it's a very, very good question, Trevor. I mean, one of the great things about working with such a creative team, as we do with the folks in Vancouver, Arnie and perhaps Bon, the president of Sputnik Communications, is that all the work that's gone into the brand over the last 10 years or so has allowed us to actually help each other. So it's a very, very creative-led format. There is a brand book and a playbook, which has been written to help all the licensees understand the benefits of the format. But what we do in the UK is somewhat different to what some of the stations in North America do. And I think that, as Arnie pointed out earlier on, it's all about finding the gap in the particular area that we're working in, and collectively and consultatively working together to work out what our audience needs and requirements are. I think one of the great examples of that is when we launched the original Jack, the first one ever outside of North America in Oxford back in 2007, we decided to broadcast local football. That was something that none of the North American stations had done. We were able to work with Vancouver and sort of rationalise the decision and the logic behind that decision, and that's worked very well for us to position the radio station as in Oxford as being extremely local.
Arnie, what would you do, or what do you do, about stations who presumably think they can copy your policy and simply call themselves, I don't know, Dave or Fred or Jill?
Wish them luck, I guess, is the sarcastic answer. You know, from our perspective, you know, there are two lines of thinking here. One is to create a branded format that has a persona and has a character to it and has identifiable brand pillars. And that's what we've tried to do with Jack and Jack too. Other stations that adopt, you know, a human name, whether it's Bob or Dave or Ed, and there are all of those in North America and probably some of those in Europe as well, they are more typical radio stations that just happen to have that kind of name. It's easy to play similar music to Jack. The music's widely available, was available before the first Jack went on the air. But it's the combination of understanding what a brand is, applying the brand attributes to all facets of the radio station, and putting that on the air in a consistent manner that differentiates what Jack has to offer from what a typical, what we would call in North America, an adult hits format might have to offer, which would be your typical DJs doing typical things but playing similar music.
Arnie, how do you sell the idea, just in, you know, in a couple of sentences, to, I don't know, an advertiser or a potential sponsor who might say to you, this sounds, this Jack format, it sounds a bit like listening to somebody else's iPod?
You know, I think we would go in and reinforce with them what our brand strengths were. We would talk to them about their particular product or brand or company and draw similarities between, you know, the things that they do to maintain their own particular brand identity and explain how we, you know, have built the Jack brand identity in a similar fashion to many other well-branded products. And then I think we have our track record of results that shows that Jack not only attracts a large audience in almost every market it's been in, but also our research has proven that the top-of-mind awareness of the brand and the brand attributes is very strong. We did a study 5 or 6 years ago in the United States where we tested the slogans of Jack One, which was playing what we want, and we tested it against a variety of other slogans, including the McDonald's slogan as well. And among Jack's P1 listeners, the Jack slogan has more awareness than McDonald's does, which is quite astounding considering that McDonald's has billions of dollars to spend on advertising and has been doing that for almost 50 years, and we've been around for just over 10 years.
One of the successes that we've had with Jack in all locations across the UK, there has been very, very little above-the-line marketing spend on any of the radio stations. We were only 5 years old in Oxford, and we have a 90% unprompted awareness in the marketplace without spending any money. So, all the attributes and the persona and everything about the strength of the brand really, really resonates very, very well with the audience, which was, you know, why we decided to launch the brand extension in Oxford based on what Arnie has just articulated.
You've also, of course, in Oxford, got the most fantastic radio building. I mean, it looks like some something from the war that you've painted white and had graffitied. But it's part of the image, isn't it? It's the building that we want.
Yeah, no. When we first originated, Jack, one of the things that we thought was very intriguing as part of the persona was to describe the broadcasting center of all the Jacks as being from a dumpy building. And I think Oxford has by far exceeded our greatest expectations of being able to do so from an actual dumpy building.
How important is the voice of Jack? I mean, Ian, let me put that to you. You use Paul Darrow, best known from Blake 7. Who are you using for Jack 2?
Well, I mean, to answer your question, Trevor, the voice is very, very important. When we originally launched the original Jack back in 2007, we cast 84 different people for the role. It took us 3 days to sit in a room to find out which of these voices we wanted. And the same happened for Jack too. We, you know, Annie and I spent a lot of time listening to various demos, and we wanted someone who reflected the brand values. As we said earlier, Jack 2 was all about, playing what you want. The listeners are very, very instrumental in deciding the songs that will be played on the radio station, and we needed a voice that sort of reflected the target demo, which was, you know, effectively an 18 to 34-year-old female. And we found a lady who, believe it or not, has actually starred in some sci-fi episodes of Doctor Who, and was very, very familiar with Paul Darrow. It's a very, very small world. So Aisha is our new voice, and we're absolutely delighted.
One final question for Arnie over there in Canada. I suppose the sky's the limit, is it? You can take stations on from all over the world. Are they beating a path to your door for a Jack license?
I don't know that anybody beats a path to anybody's door for anything in this day and age. It's a very competitive world. We've developed a number of products at SparkNet in addition to Jack because we recognize that there are circumstances where, you know, there are competitors who are doing a version of adult hits or the Jack kind of format. And sometimes, other operators are not necessarily looking to do Jack. So we have a variety of different branded formats. Some that deal with gold-based music stations, some that deal with current-based formats. They're all hopefully as creative and have so far been successful in their deployment. We were finding a very available marketplace for the different products we have, but it's not always about Jack.
One final question for Ian. I think a lot of people will have been interested to see in the press release about Jack 2 the words Clive and Dickens, because we've kind of decided that Clive left the UK and went to Australia, but of course he's still very much involved with your company. How much has he had to do with Jack 2, Ian?
Well, Trevor, Clive and I have worked together for over 10 years. We're still joined at the hip, although he's in the Southern Hemisphere. In fact, it's quite funny. He's still a non-executive director of our company and very, very instrumental in the decisions that we make. You know, he has been a driving force behind working with us on the development of the Jack 2 brand, and will continue to do so. And he is one of the UK's brightest programming talents, and it's great to have him alongside our partners with Sputnik. So, you know, he's well and truly still involved. I, in fact, talk to him more now that he's in Australia than I used to when he was here in the UK.
Thank you very much indeed, Ian, and thank you, Arnie Selsey. We were on the phone to Regina, Saskatchewan, and to New York City. We were talking about Jack and Jack 2. We wish Arnie and Ian every success with all their ventures. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. Here's Roy Martin with this week's radio news.
Thank you, Trevor. And we start this week with a bit of exciting news that the Radio Today website has a new look. We've made the site bigger, quite literally, it's quite wide, with a focus on images, photos and videos, and enhance the mobile user experience as well. It looks great on a mobile. Do let us know any feedback and keep an eye open for the new iPhone and Android apps coming very soon, sponsored by BedsandBeats.com. Sad news this week for Sunrise Radio Limited after a winding up petition was filed against the company by HM Revenues and Customs. The hearing takes place on September the 2nd and we'll keep you up to date with the developments there. Bauer Media has appointed John Pickford as news editor-in-chief. He'll lead the team across the Place portfolio and report to Owen Ryan, who's the group PD, or content director, as they like to call them. And finally, if you're here in Media City, UK next week, BBC Radio 5 Live is broadcasting from the public piazza all day from 7 a.m. on September the 5th. They've got a hamster wheel, seesaws, exercise bikes for the presenters, and lots more going on, as well as the station does an OB from outside the studio window, quite literally. It's all part of a renewable energy day and allows anoraks everywhere to see the station in action. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Jack Two.
The Radio Today programme.
Thank you, Roy. Let's have a word from our sponsor and then we'll have David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audio Boo, sharing voices with the world.
100 years of radio. Radio Moments.
We start looking back to this week 3 decades ago and a commercial radio launch on the South Coast.
It's 7:45 on Monday, the 29th of August, 1983. Welcome to Southern Sound.
And so that great theme continued for over 2 minutes.
The Southern Sound theme, written by David Arnold and played by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Southern Sound launching from a converted cinema this week in 83, and that first Beach Boys song was the same song used to launch Piccadilly and Pirate FM as well. Birthdays now, in a sense. 25th of August 1896, Walter Gabriel was born.
Oh, well, him and Dan was busy, that's all. So how's my rifle getting in the way?
Walter was, of course, the Archer's character, played by Chris Gittins from Launch. Both Chris and the character Walter died in 88. LBC is a station which has had a number of launches and relaunches. And this week, 21 years ago, it relaunched its AM service.
This is London Talkback Radio, 1152 AM, 261 metres medium wave.
The 4 o'clock news, this is Paul Kirby.
Talkback relaunched with separate programmes from 5:30 in the morning till 9 at night this week in 1992, just a year before it lost its licence. Another talk station with more than one incarnation was the BBC's fifth service.
You're listening to BBC Radio 5 on Monday the 27th of August 1990 as the clock ticks towards the launch of Britain's first new national network in 23 years on 9:09 and 6:93 a.m., T-minus 90 minutes and counting.
Oh, Ode to Radio 5, devised by Trevor Robert Neil, written by Trevor Robert Neil, and read by Trevor Robert Neil. Simon did absolutely nothing. Radio 5...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Radio 5! Yeah! The launch of Radio 5 on the old Radio 2 AM frequencies this week in 1990. Sport, kids and education. It became 5 Live 4 years later. Here's a quick factoid. Happy birthday this week to this jock.
Now then, tomorrow evening's star special is with a footballer. And I mention that because I mentioned football earlier on and we've had several matches played this afternoon, as you know. I hope your team did win. They've already asked me to be in the Radio 1 football team, but I've said I won't be unless I wear a tracksuit to cover up my wobbly shoulders and my extremely knobbly knees.
Steve Wright, 59 this week, heard there on his first Radio 1 show. His career took him from the BBC backroom to Radio 210 in Reading, Luxie before Radio 1, back into the commercial sector, and now out successfully on Radio 2. Staying with birthdays, this voice is 72 this week.
Did you always mean to make this your life, or did you start off doing something else?
No, I always meant to be a writer. Always. My father was a writer, and I wanted to be a writer too.
Have you got any that you can single out that you enjoyed writing most of all?
Well, I loved writing the Noddy books, of course.
Sue McGregor talking there to Enid Blyton in 74. She'd been on Woman's Hour for 15 years. She was on the Today programme for 18 years. Happy birthday, Sue. Another former Woman's Hour presenter died this week, 7 years ago, Margaret Hubbell. She'd also been the first voice on Family Favourites.
Well, I've got a script, the original script, actually, of Family Favourites here, which, would just give you the screaming ab-dabs, actually, if you look at it.
Margaret Hubbell, who died this week in 2006, aged 91. This week in 1939, changes for BBC Radio News. With war looming, the corporation began broadcasting daily morning and lunchtime news bulletins. Before that, thanks to an agreement with the press, the scheduling of news bulletins was strictly limited.
Here is a special bulletin read by John Snagg.
Staying with that same decade, we should commemorate the first police appeal on radio. Stanley Hobday was duly apprehended this week in 1933 after he'd murdered a chap in West Brom. The offender had got almost as far as Carlisle. Then he collided with a herd of cows. The cowman recognised him from the description on the radio. Stanley was executed. This week in 1989, a new voice on Key 103 Breakfast.
Alison Williams, good morning, Key 103. Tuesday morning, hope you had a good weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. Lots of sleep, a bit of decorating, watched a few videos. I found another excuse so I didn't have to cut the grass.
29th of August, 1989, the first Penk Breakfast on Key in Manchester. And this week, 13 years ago, we heard the first Big John show on Hallam FM. And staying in Yorkshire, this week in 1991, Pennine Radio from Bradford adopted a new identity.
Thank you very much. It's 3 minutes past five, Friday, August the 30th, 1991. I'm Elliot Webb, and this is the UK's newest radio station, The Pulse.
Early days of The Pulse, 22 years ago this week, and that's one of the few stations still in its 1970s launch premises to this day. So, with Chrysalis acquiring Galaxy this week 18 years ago and converting Century East Midlands to Heart this week 8 years ago, Melodies for You ending on Radio 2 2 years ago, and cutbacks on Radio 1 this week in 1980, those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments! Thanks very much, David Lloyd. Thank you also to Roy Martin, to Jordan Thomas, who engineered our transatlantic phone call extravaganza. This has been a TDC production. It's the Radio Today programme, and there'll be something at least as good next week.